Hey guys, Tim here. And is your gym stuck between $8,000 and $25,000 a month and you know that you're capable of doing more? You need to check out the Springboard. Springboard's our new 12-month coaching program designed to help you hit $30,000 a month in stable, recurring revenue. To see how Springboard can help your gym, just visit gymownercoach.com. That's gymownercoach.com for all the details.
Listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right, welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, in the old studio, joined by Zach Columbia. What's up, buddy?
We're here. Let's do it.
Yeah, we are here, and it's going down. We got another studio there. We're changing names. We're at the end of the year, and we got a great topic for you guys today. So when I first opened the gym, I remember specifically not being able to wait till January came, because January means more business. January is going to be New Year's resolutions. There's going to be a line wrapped around the building. People are just going to be like, you know, on New Year's morning trying to get in this gym to sign up, right? And over the years, it was funny because I believe 16 years ago, I felt some of that. And it's probably because I hadn't gone through all the seasons yet. And as the years went on, it was like not so much early January, it was late January. Then it was really February. And then it was really like mid-February. Now it's like really March. And there is no like rush of people. There's a lot of change going on, but there's this dirty little secret in the fitness industry that nobody talks about. Nobody. What we're going to talk about it today. But the secret is that you have a mass exodus of memberships and cancellations and people leaving your gym in January when everybody's focused on who's coming in the door. There is as many or almost as many people leaving the gym, and nobody even talks about that. And if you're in business longer than 5 years at this point, you're probably shaking your head. Yeah, you know what? We do lose a lot of people, and I'm not even paying attention because I'm so excited about the new people that you forget to look at the numbers. And we just went over the numbers before this call of this past January, and it was excruciating. If it wasn't in January, we probably would feel it a lot more.
Yeah, we would be reassessing some things.
So let's get into that for a second. Yeah. So in January, people are starting to reevaluate a lot of things. Finances, goals and dreams and aspirations for the next year. What worked, what didn't work last year? Am I using the things? And it really comes down to a lot to budgeting.
Yep.
Budgeting and change, right? Newness, change, new years, new me, new you. And they start to look at, did I get results with this place that I've been training at for the last year? Is this what I want to continue for another year? And it's a big decision for them. And they start to look at, you know, their finances and budgets. And a lot of times, health and fitness, your gym is the first one that they cut.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about that.
Well, just as there's so many layers to this, but just as a industry as a whole, we really have like this fronted and forgotten type of mindset. So we go really heavy on the front end, right? Like we're trying to put our best foot forward. We're marketing heavily. And we go through these processes of onboarding somebody, getting them in the gym. And then as soon as they're kind of like, you know, signed on the dotted line, we're like, okay, we're good.
Next.
And then we forget this. There's this whole, you know, client journey, and we got to follow up and stay, you know, on top of our members. And so we focus so much on the front end that then people start to, they're frequency starts to fall off or, you know, just decrease. And then soon, you know, before you know it, there's Thanksgiving and you haven't seen that person in a couple of weeks. And, you know, maybe you reached out to them and then they came in for one or two workouts, but it's not enough to really create this perception of value. And then you get to January and either that, like you said, that person's looking at their finances. They're going, hey, is this really worth it? Should I be spending $5,000 a year on this? There's probably some chatter that's going on between them and their group of friends. And their friends are like, oh, I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to this, I'm going to try Pilates, or, you know, I'm doing 75 hard, or this new gym popped up down the street where you wear EMS suits and you work out and like the results are crazy. I'm sweating so much. And they're like, oh, that sounds amazing. I'm going to go with, oh, I did a free class and like cancel my membership over here because I'm going over here. And there's all this movement that takes place. And it's just like, there's multiple different reasons why this happens.
And other solutions are heavily marketing, just like you are. And in your clients that are in your gym that you believe are safe, they're getting bombarded with New Year's, new you, new diet plans, new shots that you can put in your stomach, right? To get the results, you know, like at home workouts, all the things. And while, yes, you are bringing in a lot of people, because we did, we probably brought in the most people in January, we also lost the most in January.
Yeah.
So the delta, the net positive, was very little. In fact, one of our lowest months. But we had our highest signups, but we also had our highest exits. And so something that we were talking about, like, well, what do you do to fix it? I don't know if there is a way to fix it, to be honest with you, because you have a million different things. Now, going back to your front end focused business for a second, there's two major things here. So the person or the team that signs up the clients isn't usually the same team and shouldn't be the same team that delivers the product. And a lot of times that handoff is where we focus, right? We focus on, you know, making sure the client's in good hands. They know that they're being passed down to the training team and all that stuff. And
if you're doing a good job, which you might not even be focused on that, you know, you might skip over that.
And that therein lies the problem, because if it's the same person that's responsible for delivering the product, the training, as this person signing them up, like in a lot of gyms, like the trainers will sign up the clients and then they go train them. Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably the worst thing that can happen, is because there's no split responsibility where you're only in charge of delivering and you guys over here are only in charge of signing up people up. If you're trying to do both, well then, yeah, you're always going to be trying to sign up the next person, because that's the exciting part. If we're being honest, that's like exciting. New money, new clients,
dopamine
versus this, you know, slog of training a client for 10 years. Right. And so there's two major problems there. Number one is, are you the same person that's signing people up and then going and training them? In a lot of gyms, it is.
If you're a solopreneur, you're going to have these vicious cycles in your business where you're super busy, you're selling, and you don't have very many clients. So all of your attention is on signing people up and doing consultations. But then you get too busy because you're delivering the product and you can't sell, and then you're going to lose people. And now you have open time slots that you are going to reallocate to getting more people to sign up. And you're just going to go through this process over and over and over again, because no matter how good we are, we're up against psychology, and people are going to start and they're going to stop and they're going to fall off and they're going to cancel and they're going to move and things are going to happen. And so it's like, yeah, that's a major problem in somebody's business if you're a one-man show and you're trying to do it all.
Imagine a place where growth is the only option and where challenges become opportunities. Welcome to the Iron Circle, the epitome of business acceleration, personal growth, and professional camaraderie. Across the country, from every corner of the fitness industry, business owners just like you have found their tribe.
And when you really think about putting these 30 heads together, well, there's probably 200-300 years of gym owner experience.
Here, we dream big and execute bigger. Our members speak of breakthroughs, of transformations, of stepping out of their comfort zones to redefine success.
We just had our highest month ever since almost 7 years in business. We're close to $46,000.
We've turned isolation into community, uncertainty into solid action plans, and struggles into growth.
where you can attract those prospects, convert them to clients, have them raving about the experience of your services, even referring other clients, all while you're sleeping.
And for you to get the support and the knowledge and the experience to just accelerate up and beyond that, that's the ultimate hack.
Because together, we are more than gym owners. We are visionaries. We are pioneers. We are the Iron Circle.
Visit ironcircle.net to apply.
Yeah, I was talking to a gym owner yesterday, and she's training. She's in charge of sales, but she's also training 5, 6, 7 hours a day.
Yeah.
And I just told her, you know, she said she has a wait list for her classes and none of the other coaches do. It's because I said, well, it's because you're probably the best and you're the owner and everybody wants to train with you and all these things. But I said, the best use of your time is business growth, business development. That's the best use of your time. The worst use of your time is going and training the clients that you signed up. And it's very hard for a trainer brain to think that because that's what they enjoy.
That's
why they started their gym. But the harsh reality is they've got to be the one that's growing their business or else nobody does. And she's been stuck at the same number for years because, like you said, she's focused on selling. She gets all these people in. She's too busy to sell anymore. So she's training all these clients, but there's natural attrition. And all of a sudden she's got open times. Now she's got to go flip back and forth. And she just needs two people. You can't do it all yourself, unfortunately, if you want to grow.
Yeah.
Where she's at right now, she could stay right there forever, but she's obviously on the phone with us because she's unhappy with her business. And that's what I noticed that right away. It was like the first thing I noticed.
I think this is a little off topic, but in that situation, and for anybody that's a trainer that they hear that you have to stop training, we say, hey, you have to stop training. That's a major turnoff to them. They're like, man, that's why I got into it. I love that part of the job. And, you know, I don't love the other, you know, I don't love selling. I don't love marketing. I don't love running a business. It's like, well, you can have both, but you have to take a step back from the training floor temporarily. You're treating this as an investment to get the systems in place, to build the business. And then once the systems start running the business, then you get to be the guy or girl that jumps out on the training floor. You're not tied to it, but you get to jump out on the training floor and dive in and have like a great session with some of your members. And then you go back to, you know, working on the business, but you're not tethered to it. You're not tethered to
delivery. It's a choice. It's a choice. And that's really what we try to help gym owners have is the choice and the freedom to do that. But when you're stuck in the grind, that's what's brutal.
So you got to take that step back in a way so that then you get to do the fun part at some point in time, you know?
Yeah. And January is interesting because it's not necessarily you against them. It's as far as like competing for keeping your clients. It's not you against the client's budgets. It's not you against the client's results from last year. It's not you against the client's motivation, even though it is. It's also against a guy down the street, not doing anything at all, doing running. Intermittent fasting's also a competitor for you. GLP-1s, all these peptides in the Wild West of what's going on in that. And everything else under the sun is also a competition for you. And so the question becomes, what are the things we can do in front of January to make sure this doesn't happen? Or if it's going to happen, it's minimized. And really it comes down to, I think you and Randy talked about it on a couple episodes ago, is keeping your clients engaged and motivated through the holidays. It's just what it is. Because if they're not, it's a lot easier for them to not show back up in January with all these other options out there because they just look at the last 6 to 8 weeks of usage, not the 2 years prior where they had such great results. It's the last 2 months and you let them fall off or they fell off on their own. And you're up against, again, every other marketing tactic, trick, unique mechanism, hook, offer, trial, challenge, whatever.
Well, you have to change the client's mindset from the beginning, from your marketing messaging through their entire journey. The focus has to shift from being results driven to being lifestyle driven.
There you go.
That's the only solution. because if they're looking at the result, whether they, we talk about all the time, the law of diminishing value, whether they get the result or don't get the result, it doesn't matter if they're looking for a specific result, they're constantly weighing that against the sacrifices that they're making. So whether it be financial or time,
or pain,
right? They're constantly reassessing, is this worth it? Is the problem that I'm trying to solve worth those things to accomplish it? And at some point they're going to say like, no, I'm good, right? The only way that you counter that is through this transformation, not of body composition, but this transformation of, I'm the type of person that works out. This gym that I go to, this training facility, is where my community is. It's where my people are. It's part of my day. If I don't go there, I don't feel good. I don't feel like the day was complete. And so you're just creating this intrinsic feeling that somebody has of like, and belief of like, well, that's my home. That's where I go. That's where my people are. That's where I work out. And it's not this constant analysis in their mind of like, is the money I'm spending worth the return?
Right. That's the answer right there. That's the answer. The answer to all of it, retention in general, mm-hmm. is a transformation in belief of who the person is and what they want. Their goals are, there are no goals. Like, if we're being honest, their goal is just to go work out. And it's just part of their day. It's who they are.
Yeah, I mean, we know this, but we never really say it. We actually did a podcast, like our podcast with a gym. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. There is zero point in starting a fitness program if you don't plan on doing it for the rest of your life. You could work out for 3 years, be super consistent 5 days a week, and the moment that you stop, it's gone. And
it starts to diminish.
It starts to diminish at 14 days. And you know, within 6 months, it's all gone. And it's like, what was the point of that last 3 years? So the question is like, what are you doing to get your clients to understand that and to shift their focus away from like, hey, I got to get this result, to nope, this is just part of my lifestyle.
It's a dangerous path that you're going to, it's a dangerous choice to bring that up in the consultation. And I've done this exact thing in the consultation, and it's worked to my benefit, actually. Yeah. I've even said things like this. You know, they're giving you excuses. You say something along the lines of, is this even a good time to start a fitness program? They sell you on, yes, it is. Then we recap all the things that they did and failed. And then I say this. You know, Mrs. Johnson, this is the next step of the rest of your life, right? You know, this is going to be, this never ends after today. You know that, right? And they've already bought in, they understand, and they agree to it. Do they know what they're really saying? Probably not.
Right.
But it is the truth. Yeah. And I wouldn't be doing my job, Mrs. Johnson, if I didn't tell you the truth that this never ends. This isn't a 1 month, 1 week, 5 session, 10 session, 1 year deal. This is the next step of the rest of your life. Are you willing to take that step today? And of course they're like bought in and they say yes. But if you could also say that to somebody and they could be like, yeah, you know what? I'm not ready for that. That isn't what I want. And you could lose them. So yeah. Be careful. You have to know when to insert that, but that's the truth because this never stops. I haven't stopped working out at least since I started working out when I was 13 years old. There was probably 20 years that I had missed 2 weeks straight, like unless I was sick or on vacation or injured. But there was like a 9 year, 10 year period in there that was like 1 week or less. I didn't take off the gym of 1 week where I didn't get into the gym and get some workouts. Now, obviously with COVID and things, like there's been some more gaps, but there's been no 1 year off ever since I was 13 years old. There's never been 1 month off. It's just what it is. It's just a part of the life. And, you know, and so it's difficult for like somebody that hasn't been in sports or didn't grow up this way to understand that, but that's the truth. Without going to the gym, I feel miserable. If I can't imagine what it would be like to not go to the gym for a year or even a month.
Yeah.
But yet this is the norm. So we can't really relate to folks a lot of times, but like you could tell somebody this is the rest of your life and they're not going to comprehend what I'm really trying to tell you. This is the rest of your life.
Yeah. And some advice that I would have to reduce the amount of churn that you have, maybe not this January, but next January, is when you do have the members coming in and signing up, whether it's in January or whenever, future pace it. Think like, well, what is the messaging that I intense very high. So in January, February, it's easy to sell memberships because everybody's coming in. They're just ready to get started. They're basically sold before they mm-hmm. show up. Mm-hmm. Well, don't just go for yes and get them to sign up. It's like, you need to take the power and the authority and position this as what you're starting now is for the rest of your life. We are different. We operate differently here. Mm-hmm. You go to the gym down the street, they're just going to sign you up, take your money. What we're going to do is we're going to invest in you for the rest of your life, essentially. And so you need to have that game plan and that journey to take that client from like high intent of like, yeah, it's the new year, I got to do something, to, hey, no, this is actually something that I have to stick with.
This would be about the best time of the year to do it.
Yeah.
Because the intent's so high. It's not like you're going to turn somebody off, but yeah. you are. You're taking that power back. Like, we don't really need you to sign up here. You need us mm-hmm. at the end of the day. And, you know, that's a whole selling out of desperation. That's a whole nother show or podcast topic. But, yeah, use this particular time of year as the opportunity to get the buy-in of this is not a transformation. This is a lifestyle. And if you could do that, this year, this will save your butt for the rest of time, if we're being honest. And if we can do this every single month, not just in January, but practice it this January, you'll get buy-in. People will be into that, especially now because they're so motivated, right?
Yeah.
So the dirty little secret is, listen, guys, you're up against a wall. You're going to get signups. You're going to get a lot of cancellations. So do not take your eye off those cancellations. Do everything you can. And we've given you a bunch of little tips and tricks to try to reduce that this year. But that is the secret. That is the dirty little secret that nobody talks about. You're going to have nearly, hopefully not as many, but nearly as many losses as you do signups this year and last year. If you go back and look, you'll probably be surprised. So don't let it take you by surprise. Just know that's the way it is. And here's the reasons why. And here's the things to do about it, guys. Hopefully that helps you. Until next episode, keep changing lives. We will see you on the next show. Bye. All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, Profit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link and keep building something great. And we'll see you in the next episode.